Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Now it's time for a regular feature here on Midday, the Afro Check-In, where we sit down with our colleagues at the Baltimore Afro newspaper to talk about some of the issues and stories that they are covering. In particular, as I mentioned at the top of the show, early voting in Maryland's primary election begins in less than 7 weeks. Several key state Senate races in West Baltimore's 40th, 41st, and 44th districts are heating up. We'll take a look at those. And the N-word is being used by a Mexican-American rapper. Is that okay? And how about Kanye West? Given his apparent bromance with President Trump, the Afro and others are asking, is he okay? Kamau High is the managing editor of The Afro. Sean Yost is the Baltimore editor and the host of the podcast Afro First Edition. I can testify to the fact that they are both okay. They join me here in Studio A. Good to see you guys.
Good to see you, Tom.
So, Sean, you have done some profiles of people in these races that for the state Senate that concern Baltimore City, District 40, District 41, District 44. There are even a couple of others that are also interesting races. Right. What'd you find?
Well, West Baltimore, obviously, in these races that I looked at this week, we've been looking at races for the past several weeks, as a matter of fact. Incumbents in the race have been placed in those positions because of the exits of former incumbents. And so these races are up for grabs to a great extent. There are some favorites definitely as well. I think in the 41st, Jill Carter, who was the delegate from the 41st before she became the director of the Office of Civil Rights in Baltimore.
She left the House to go to work for Mayor Catherine Pugh in the city. She's being challenged by J.D. Merrill, who is a son-in-law of Governor Martin O'Malley.
Which is obviously a really interesting dynamic given the relationship between Jill Carter and Martin O'Malley over the years when she was with the House in the House of Delegates. So that is a race that everybody is paying attention to.
And this is a race that Nathaniel Oakes
is still on the
ticket. Still on the ballot as of
despite
this morning.
Despite all of his efforts to get off of the ballot, it seems like this judge has not made a decision yet connected to. First of all, he tried to just remove himself from the ballot. The judge in the case said he couldn't remove himself from the ballot because he's still a registered voter. Then he went to the Board of Elections and asked them to take his registration away from him, which they did. So now it's up to the judge to decide whether or not he would be officially removed from the ballot.
But in that first decision, the judge indicated that if you're not a registered voter, you don't have standing. You can't be on the ballot. But as of this morning, when I looked at the draft ballot, he's still there.
Yeah.
And Antonio Hayes running against Barbara Robinson. You mentioned people being appointed. Ms. Robinson was appointed when Catherine Pugh became the mayor of Baltimore.
Exactly.
And Antonio Hayes in the House challenging up.
Yeah, it's almost like you have a parallel situation on the east side where you have Corey McCray challenging Nathaniel McFadden. Obviously, McFadden has been in the chair a lot longer than Barbara Robinson as far as the Senate, but they're both veteran politicians. And now Antonio Hayes, who just, I believe, came into the House of Delegates in 2014, taking that next step up for the Senate and running a very spirited race. So obviously we have to find out who wins it.
Yeah, and last week on Midday, we had Joan Carter Conway and Mary Washington.
Another one
where Mary Washington in the House of Delegates challenging
up
a very senior member of the Senate, chair of a very powerful
committee. Perhaps the most powerful member from the Baltimore City delegation. I mean, some people may, debate that, but Joan Carter Conway, a venerable senator, if there ever was a venerable senator, from Baltimore City. So,
interesting.
Yeah, extremely interesting.
Interesting. So we will, of course, keep our eye on those. And Kamau High, this Mexican American rapper.
Takeshi 6969.
He makes Lisa Snowden did a special to the Afro a few days ago. Said this guy is making money rapping the N-word. He's not black.
He's not. Now, listen, there obviously in the history of rap music, there are several groups who've come to major prominence, such as Cypress Hill, Fat Joe in the 90s, who are not African-Americans, who are rapping the N-word. But it seems to have more relevance today. Takeshi 6ix9ine is he lives in New York and claims to be a member of the Bloods. And in his videos and in his songs, he is a prominent user of the N-word. And we're asking the question, is that okay? Because, I often sort of wonder, you know, when I see people who are not African-American using the N-word, I often think, I would really prefer that you didn't, but I'm never going to sort of step in and say anything because, you know, people can live their lives. But we thought we would ask the question, and, you know, the conversation that the story generated on our Facebook page was rather intriguing. There seems to be a large amount of people who were like, no, you should not use that word if you're not African-American. And then a second contingent who were like, well, listen, a lot of rap music uses the N-word. And people like rap music. It's one of the most popular genres in America. So listen, it's fine.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, Sean Yost, what are your feelings about this? Years ago, interviewed a really smart black intellectual who was in Baltimore for a while, is now in Chicago, a guy named Jabari Asim, who wrote a book called The N-Word. Mm-hmm. Who can use it? Who can't? Why they should? Why they shouldn't? Mm-hmm. This has been an issue that has, you know, sort of evolved and fluctuated in the cultural zeitgeist.
So if I'm a black rapper of prominence, can I use an anti-Semitic slur? If I'm a black rapper of prominence, can I use a Italian-American slur? Is that okay? I don't know. I don't think it is. It probably wouldn't be. I mean, I think you would have all kinds of people protesting me, especially in the music industry. First of all, this kid is all over the map. I mean, I saw that he was maybe claiming Puerto Rican. I saw he was claiming both Blood and Crip. So he seems a bit confused.
I guess they both buy records.
Yeah. But I think the one thing that is understood with him, he knows how to make a hit. I don't know anything about his music. I've never heard it, but I've heard that he's had several number one hits in a row. So obviously he's been able to tap into the pulse of the young people.
But maybe he's appropriating cultural cultural dimensions that he just doesn't have the right to appropriate.
Yeah, yeah. I agree, but I mean, that's not a new story, obviously. Yeah.
Tom, out of curiosity, have you ever used the N-word?
No.
Never?
And wouldn't do it.
Interesting.
I mean, I just wouldn't do it. I mean, you know, and even when I'm quoting things and that mm-hmm. word comes in a quote, I say N-word. I don't utter.
Well, Eminem won't use it.
Yes. I mean,
the greatest white rapper of all time. He will not use it in his music. So
I mean, just that's my personal feeling. What about Kanye? Because we've got all sorts of folks. Misha Green wrote a piece. He's your DC editor.
Yes.
Is Kanye okay?
Yes.
What's the deal with him and Trump?
Well, you know, it started, almost a couple weeks ago when he started talking about he was releasing new music, which he released over the weekend. And then it sort of evolved into him coming out as a Trump supporter. Ultimately, you know, sort of, you know, he emerged with a photo of him wearing a MAGA hat. He's been pictured with some prominent far-right conservatives. And he's made some comments that are essentially saying, like, free-thinking people are entitled to their opinion, and we don't all have to agree, which obviously we don't all have to agree. It's just that this has caused a huge backlash on the internet, given that Trump's propensity for denigrating people of all races, particularly African-Americans and Hispanics, and then sort of Trump's policies that are often not the most advantageous to African-Americans.
And Sean Yost says, you don't have to agree with Trump, but the mob can't make me not love him. I mean, is this just Conway just, you know, mixing
it's
the leaves
Kanye,
up?
Kanye being Kanye.
Yeah. We've heard about Trump being Trump,
right?
But now
Kanye
it's Kanye
being Kanye, Kim's husband being Kim's husband. I mean, it's all good for clicks, I guess, and sales in their minds, but, you know.
Yes, I believe on Sunday, Kanye and the rapper T.I. put out a song where T.I. takes the point of view of the internet, sort of calling out Kanye, and Kanye defends his love of Trump. It's fascinating listening.
Oh, between Macron and Trump, that bromance, and now he's got a bromance with Kanye. Good
yes.
for him. All right, Kamau High is the managing editor of The Afro, which was founded right here in Baltimore in 1892. It's the oldest African-American family-owned newspaper in the United States. Sean Yost is the Baltimore editor and the host of the podcast Afro First Edition, and The Afro Check-In is a regular feature here on Midday. Gentlemen, thank you. We'll see you next time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, the Midday Culture Connection with Dr. Sherry Parks and Dr. Stanford Carpenter. We're going to talk about diversity in movies and TV and media. We want to thank The Diz for supplying lunch today. They're located at 300 West 30th Street in the heart of Remington. They feature signature burgers, wings, steaks, and jumbo lump crab cakes. The Diz is open for lunch and dinner with breakfast served on the weekends on the web at thedizbaltimore.com. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.